This is Let Go, Press On, Life is Reversible. Strange title, I know. What I wrote on here is we would grow from wonder-filled children to adults seeking fulfillment and have disappointments to face. Now what? Walk backwards. These are just pictures of my family, and my son is looking very perplexed, sitting amidst the toys from all the kids, which he was. Very perplexed. But it just reminded me how much we go from little kids and my grandsons come in and they go for the toy box, and each time it's new. Play for those things 50 times. But it's new. It's not theirs. So they come in and they're wonder-filled. And then I watch as the older ones come on, and you know, you get things in your life and cluttered in your life, and it's not the same. The little bug that vibrates that my little kids like is not the same for my kids in their 30s. So, and it's certainly not the same for me. It's like, push the button and turn it off. But anyway, that's beside the point. Okay, this morning when I woke up, the song, I don't know if you remember the old song, it says, it's called Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Remember that? That was really impressed on me, because I just want to read the first verse. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I'm waiting, yielded and still. That's a key, yielded and still. Now these little questions I gave you, they're more to get your mind thinking. We're not going to talk about it. Okay? Just so you think. We're going to start at the beginning. Okay. In Acts 17, it says, God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places that they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him to find him, though he's not far from each one of us, for in him we live, we move, and we have our being. You know, when God creates us, we know he created us. We just know it. He made us. We're his. Confirms that in Psalm 100. Even Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 1:5, God assures Jeremiah that he made you from the womb. He knew you, and he set you apart, set him apart for what he was called to do. Each one of us is set apart. But as we were talking about the song in Psalm 139:13.
I'm just checking your recorder. Go ahead.
Okay, it says, you were created in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, so this little pot with your names on it, big pot, is you and me. And you, and you, and you. But we don't all look the same. We all don't write the same. You know, we're just not the same. But we are clay. Now, when a potter sits down and he looks at the lump of clay on the wheel, anybody here a potter by chance? Okay, just want to make sure. So I don't do something weird. And then you go, no, that's not how it goes. You put the lump of clay on the wheel, and you have to apply force as the wheel starts spinning to center it on the wheel. From there, you can create it. However, whether you're doing it with your hands, you're doing it with your thumbs pulling them out, your fingers pulling it out, however you're doing it. And it's unique for each pot. Well, God sees Michelle one way, Sandy another way. Everybody's somewhere different. He may pull one with hands out this way, may pull with the thumbs. We don't know. But we're unique. And none of us have a say in how we're created. None of us. But once we're created, do we have a purpose? Well, our Creator has made a purpose, just like the purpose for this is a flower pot. But does the flower pot know that? No. Do we know when we're little kids what we're created for? No. We just have to kind of go through our life, and as kids we start growing up and we start putting things in our lives as little kids. Hey, we're throwing toys in our life. Okay? Pets, maybe. You know, your parents, your family. Happens to be a picture of my family. You know, anything in our life. But we still don't understand our purpose as a little kid. Hopefully, sometime soon, some of us sooner than others, we find that we need God. We need our Lord. And when we accept Jesus into Lord of our life, we accept Him and put Him in our hearts, invite Him in our hearts to guide us and teach us how to live. Okay, this is not obviously accurate. This is Jesus, okay? A little strange, but we're going to put Him in our heart, in our life. Tuck Him all in there. And I'm tucking Him in for a reason. When you find Jesus, you're either one or the other. You're either all exuberant, and you're all over the place, you know, and people don't know what to do with you, because you're running up to people, I got saved, I did this, and they're all looking at you like you're nuts, especially in our world. But then there are the others that tuck Him nice and nice into their lives, right in their heart, keeps Him nice and quiet in their heart. He goes, and they go, now what? Well, you still have your family. It's still part of your life. Kids still have their pets, their toys. We send our kids to school. Still part of our lives. Yeah, buy a new car. Although this one's not very new, well worn. It's a car. What happens, you know? What else do we put in there? Our dreams, our hopes, we want to travel to something like that, maybe? Or maybe go on a mission field? Who knows? What's our dreams? But we have this little gnawing thing in our hearts. And it's because Jesus is living there and He's saying, you're mine, remember? You're mine. Just so you know that, I have this little book that says, you are mine. If you've never read Max Lucado children's books, highly recommend them if you have kids. But that's the thing we have to remember, that we are His. Okay. We want to, as Colossians says, we want to continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him. We want to be strengthened in faith as we're taught, and with overflowing thankfulness. We want to see to it that no one takes us captive through a hollow or deceptive philosophy. There's a lot of that right now. You know. Or because a lot of that depends on human tradition. You know, we just keep putting things in our lives, and Jesus is there in our hearts, and we keep putting it in our lives. We even may put things of the world in our lives.
Oh, that's cool.
That's Vegas. We even try to patch it up. How many times somebody breaks your heart or hurts you? And you try to patch it up and you say, oh, Lord, help me deal with this. Well, that's what we're doing. We're saying, Lord, help me deal with all this clutter in our lives, all the things that distract us. But there's a problem with that pot. Got any idea what it is?
It only holds so much.
That's part. What else?
It's too full.
Could be. But what's our relationship with Jesus here?
Mm. outside.
He's on the inside of our hearts, just in our hearts. And what are we usually saying? Lord, help me with this kid who's not behaving. Lord, help me, my schedule's so crowded. Lord, help me do this. Lord, help me do that. Lord, help me do that. Bless this thing. Bless me at my trip. Make it helpful. I mean, make it safe. It's what I call the bless me camp. You know, it's all about me. Lord, bless me. Guide me. Help me. Help my family. I don't think that's where we're supposed to be. It's not a put down for people there, because we a lot of times have to start there because we're starting to learn the reality of Christ in our lives. But I don't know about you. I want more than that. I want... Anybody else in here? Okay. When I die, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, thanks for listening. I don't know about you. I just don't. So, Christ tells us in Matthew 5, he tells us about, remember the light that's hidden under a bushel? Is that what we want? Do we want the light of Jesus hidden under our lives, in our hearts? That's not what he tells us. He says, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We need to press on past this. We need to press on it. We need to let the light and glory of Jesus flow visibly through our lives daily. Like that, we're not. Because when people look at us, they may have a glimmer that something's happening in there, but they see the pot. They see just us. They're not seeing Jesus. So I have this thing. I want to know, how do we get free of these entanglements? The clutter, the wrong paths, the wrong emphasis, things in the flesh. Can we find a key for this in Jesus' life? We have to. He's our Savior. That's what we want to live after. And I think we can easily find it. I think it is a committed devotion to servanthood that we have to come up with. A committed devotion to servanthood. And then we will be following our Lord. Because that encompasses a lot. Like, first one, committed. What does it mean to be committed? Well, it means that we've made a promise, a vow, a guarantee. Could be like New Year's Eve resolutions. Do they last very long? How about a vow to God? Does that always last? In our society, we may run into resistance like, how about in a troubled marriage? How do we respond? Or how in a job, we take some employment, we find the job is harder than we thought. Do we press on? If we press on, a lot of times it's with grumbling and complaining, not seeing what God has in store for us, but how about somebody that's hard to get along with? Are we committed to them? Now I'm going to step on toes. How about when we're late for appointments? Your friend asks you over for dinner and you show up a half an hour late. You go to church and you're a half hour late. If you went to school, they might not let you in the classroom if you were in college because you're late. But how do we look at it? As a society, we say, no big deal, no wait. It's not a priority in our lives to be committed. It doesn't seem important. But It is to God. Not just important that our commitment to Him, but it's our commitment to other people. Because we're showing respect to them by following through on our commitments. We're showing them the love of Christ by following through on our commitments. They tell us to be there at 10, be there 5 minutes till 10. Your job tells you you have to work 10 hours, work 12 without complaining. Your kids screaming and hollering, tell them you love them anyway. No, make a promise, keep it. Keep it. You know, do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Christ asked the disciples to pray for him? Mm-hmm. How long? 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Wasn't 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year. 1 hour. But what happened?
They fell asleep.
Mm-hmm. Real commitment, huh? Real commitment. It's right then that Jesus recognizes and shares with us in Matthew 26, just for reference. He says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, commitment is not an outward effort, but it's an inner change in us. And we can begin to see the spiritual truth in our daily life when we come to realize that keeping the word is not just a matter of making a good impression, whether it's on our sister, our pastor, our neighbor. It's a matter of being true to the one who redeemed us. Unless commitment is rooted in our hearts, we are bound to fail. Well, let's see here. What happens when you have a little commitment? Is it easy on us? Not usually. Let's see. What happens? When we do have commitment, some of us falls away. And what do we see?
Jesus.
Some of Jesus. We can see Jesus. True commitment to Jesus will start to manifest itself in our lives a little at a time. Maybe not as big a chunk as this, but a little at a time. The second, committed devotion. What's devotion? Loyalty? Dedication? Maybe attachment? Fidelity or support? Devotion to God is falling in love with Him and then beginning our quest to know Him. Now, how do you do that? Okay, standard pat answer. Okay, you go to church. You worship. You read your Bible every day. In whatever manner people who are trying to guide you tell you. But you know what? That's not a substitute for letting God find the secret places in our being. Let's take an example. You know, everything in Scripture and everything with our walk with God, He has provided an earthly example for us. And in our commitment to Him, one of the examples He gives us is marriage. Before you're married, what do? You say, I fell in love with them. What do you love about him? How do you know you love somebody? You try to catch as much time as possible to be with that person. You have dinner with them. You're sitting there in class or sitting somewhere and you're just smiling because you're thinking about somebody you love. It's something good. You listen to them. And maybe if it's a coming spouse, you think about him the last thing before you go to sleep at night. Remember those things? My question for you is, if we can do this for a man at some point in our lives, doesn't mean we have to marry him, but if we can do this for our man and show love, how can we do any less for God?
You just brought one down here.
He's our creator. Maybe, you know, maybe we need to be like David. He says in Psalms, he's always praising the Lord, which we like, right? He says, "Oh God, you're my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you because your love is better than life, and my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and your name I will lift up my hands." That sounds like real devotion to me. But he didn't list any of his activities, did he? He didn't list that Saul was chasing him. He didn't list that he couldn't be with his best friend, Jonathan. He couldn't list that all these foreigners were joining his army. He couldn't list that he was hiding out in caves and drinking water from waterfalls in some of the caves, like the Engedi. He wasn't talking about any of those things that consumed his time. He was concerned about God. And God calls David a man after his own heart. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't do any of this other stuff. This stuff doesn't affect his life or anything. It does. But it gives his heart attitude. It's beyond the rituals of our life. So what happens when we have devotion beyond the rituals of our life? Okay, baby. Oh, another one. All right, the third one is servanthood. Everybody goes, "Oh, here we go." But what is servanthood? It's a person who is devoted to another. Paul says that Christ, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, to me, this verse tells us that he wants us to be servants too. That means you take the lackluster jobs. You take the jobs that aren't going to get you accolades. It means that somebody spilt a cup of coffee, so you help them clean it up. It means that somebody has to go to the doctor, but they have a kid to drag along, and the kid's got a fever, and he's being kind of a pain. You offer to take care of his kid, their kid. You may just provide a meal for somebody. Slip them a few extra bucks in their mailbox without them knowing it, and they have financial problems. All these jobs are invisible, but they're things that are needed, aren't they? And God wants us to take our place in the family and participate. Now, if we're assured that God loves us, and he's in our heart, we know we're part of his family. We don't have to find ways to have other people recognize him in us. Because he's the one that looks on our heart. So, when we serve others in the spirit of Jesus Christ, it becomes evident in our lives. Okay, so how do we need to be committed? He's asking for everything we have, we move, we do. The difference is, he wants everything. Got all that still. Get rid of you. But he smashes our life. I mean, it's not important. Because it becomes his life. And it becomes that when we still have all this stuff in here, our family, our desires, our the worldly influences. I think I'll turn that off before I forget it. Just all that stuff is still in our life. But we don't see our earthen vessel. We see our Lord. We see our Lord. We haven't gotten rid of totally all the things that we would call clutter. but they're not taking our time and saying, I got to get the Lord to bless me in this. I got to get the Lord to bless me in that. No.